morning. If you have a Bible, please open yours to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This morning is our fourth and final lesson on the topic, Reasons That Are Not Seasonal, Taking Christmas Beyond December. As some of you may have noticed, a lot of attention has been paid this morning to Mary. That song we began our service with, Mary, Did You Know, will teach us why we should take Christmas beyond December. The song's title is a question, and the song's lyrics are a series of 10 questions. The answers to those questions are reasons that are not seasonal that take Christmas beyond December. This morning, time will only allow for two of them. I wrestled with which two I would choose, and they all really could be a sermon unto themselves. But before we examine the two that I've selected, I have a question of my own. It's about Mary. Did you know that Mary did not know? Look, for example, at Luke 1 and 29. Speaking of Mary, it says, "But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was." Some Bibles have the word perplexed. Others have the word troubled. Both of these English choices mean confused. Mary was confused about this statement. Now, that word for statement is the word logos. It is the word used frequently in the Scriptures to describe God's written word. And when we talk about the Bible, we talk about the Word of God. And the word for word is logos. There was a word that confused Mary. What was it? Well, what was said to her prior to Luke 1 and 29. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, this statement confused Mary. So the angel clarified the confusion in verses 30 through 34. Here's what the angel said to Mary. Now, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" How can this be, since I am a virgin? Do you know what written word Mary did not know? This one. 800 years before Mary was even born, Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And when we had that question and answer period in our service, one of the questions of Mary was, "Do you know that when you kiss this child that you'll be kissing the face of God?" And I read the New Testament quotation of Isaiah, which interprets for us the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. What did the angel tell Mary? The Lord is with you. Now, that's the statement that confused Mary in Luke 1 and 28. The Lord is with you. How could this be? I am a virgin. You know what Mary didn't understand and know? God would be in her. God would be in her. She would conceive. You see, Mary clearly was not putting two and two together, was she? How can this be since I am a virgin? Well, here's how it can be. This written word. Mary did not know. Fast forward 12 years after his birth, and Mary still did not know. Now, turn over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and I shall read for us verses 48 and 49. Luke 2:48, or I'm sorry, through 50, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. Do you remember in Luke's gospel, the statement confused her. She did not understand the statement. And 12 years later, Mary is still struggling with statements, isn't she? First the angel, now her son. Notice her son said to her, "Did you not know? Did you not know I had to be where? In my father's house." What did Mary say? "Your father and I have been looking for you." 12 years later, you know what Mary still did not know? The true identity of her son. He is not Joseph's son. He is Jehovah's son. She should have known. She did not know, but she should have known. In Luke 1, the angel said to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." Notice who his father is. The Most High God. Mary was told this. Mary should have known. Jehovah is his father, not Joseph. Fast forward 30 years after his birth, and Mary still did not know. We read in John 2 at the wedding at Cana, Mary said to Jesus, "They ran out of wine." Listen to what Jesus said to his mother. John 2 and 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." What does your concern have to do with me? That's a common Semitic idiom found in Judges 11 and 2 Samuel 16. And this idiom is intended to distance two parties, listen, over conflicting concerns. Conflicting concerns. Your concern, woman, is not my concern. What was Jesus' concern? My hour has not yet come. Every time that phrase is used in the Gospels, it always, not sometimes, always speaks to Jesus' death and exaltation. Why would Jesus speak to his mother about his death on the cross alongside Mary requesting more wine? What was our Lord's concern? My hour has not yet come. His death and his exaltation. What was Mary's concern? More wine. Why would Jesus place alongside his death and exaltation, his concern, alongside Mary's concern, more wine? I'm glad you asked. Wine is characterized by the prophets in Jeremiah 31, Hosea 14, and Amos 9, 13, and 14. Now get this, as part of the blessings of the Messianic kingdom. Listen to what Jesus said about wine in the kingdom before he died. "I tell you that I will not drink any more wine until God's kingdom comes." Now, that was said to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. That was said to his disciples just before he would die. What did Mary not know? blood first, blessing second. Blood first at his first coming, his concern. Blessing second at his second coming when he ushers in the millennial kingdom. Mary should have known this. Mary was told this in Luke 2. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary was told that her son would be opposed, and her soul would be pierced. Do you know how Isaiah describes Jesus' crucifixion? He was pierced through for our transgressions. I hope we all know that just because you are told things does not mean you... Anyone want to tell me? Know things. Just because you are told things does not mean you know things. Mary did not know. Now this morning I have just two questions for Mary. The first one is this one. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary was told. She was told this in Luke 1, 31 and 32. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be what? Great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the great I am. Notice his greatness in this verse is linked to his likeness, his true identity. How is Mary doing thus far in knowing his true identity? Not so great. So what makes the great I am, makes him the great I am that Mary clearly did not know? I'm going to give you seven reasons why he is the great I am. Jesus said this about himself in John 8 and 58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. You know how the Jewish people responded to him? How can this be? He's only 50 years old. They didn't even know how old he was. They just threw out a number. But here's what they knew. They knew he was only 50 years old. And if he's only 50 years old, who would have been born first? Abraham. Did you know that Jesus existed before Abraham? Mary should have known. What should she have known? A statement, a word, a written word. Micah 5 and 3, when she who is in labor has born a child, that's Mary in prophecy. Micah 5 and 2, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Mary, your child is from the days of eternity. You know what eternal means, right? No beginning, no end. Jesus' greatness did not begin in Bethlehem, did it? There are seven reasons that are not seasonal, that take Christmas beyond, that you and I need to know, and they're all linked to him being the great I am. His very, very first I am statement was this one. John 6 and 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. If you follow the chronology in John's gospel, you know that he just fed the 5,000 with bread. But here in John 6, more specifically, he's speaking to the Jewish people. And he's speaking to them about God feeding Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven. Listen to what Jesus said about that. John 6 and 33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. You know who that bread that came down is, don't you? Jesus was saying the manna that came from heaven is the Messiah, and I am He. In John 8 and 12, his second I am statement, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus spoke these words at the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Jewish people would light this enormous candelabra. And do you know what would always happen at the end? The flame would flicker. The light would be gone. I wonder if you're noticing something from the first two I am statements. Jesus always used the temporal to point to the eternal. The bread we eat, you know what happens with the bread we eat, right? It's gone. You need more bread. Now, the light that illuminates our darkness, you know what happens with light? It goes out. Any power outages? You ever have one of those? The light is gone. You know what Jesus is saying? He says, I am the eternal bread. I am the eternal light. I am the bread of life and the light of life. And do you know why? I have no beginning and I have no end. See, Jesus, this baby, is the eternal Son of God who comes to bring for all of us eternal life. In John 10 and 7, he says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. This is the door of the kingdom. The blessings of life. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, the doorways that you and I are accustomed to actually have doors, right? I mean, if your front door is an actual door. But the door of the sheep that Jesus said he was, I am the door of the sheep. You know who the doorway for the sheep was? The shepherd himself. See, the shepherd would sit and stand and lay in the gap. And he would be a buffer between all enemies, foreign and domestic, and the sheep. And that's why Jesus said this in that same chapter, John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus follows the door with death. He follows the door with death. He died. Why? John 11 and 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. He died and he lives. We die and we live. This is why his next I am statement were these exact words. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way this morning to the Father but through the Son. In Acts 4 and 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Did you know Jesus is the way? Follow Him. Did you know that Jesus is the truth? Listen to what He says about how to find your way to heaven. He is the life. You know what happens if you follow Him and listen to Him? You will live eternal life. His next I am statement is John 15 and 1. I am the true vine. Do you know what happens to a branch disconnected from the vine? It dies. Jesus is the great I am because Jesus holds in His hands life. He controls life. Are you noticing that everything about these I am statements in one way or another points to His sovereign lordship over life? This is why Deuteronomy 32 and 39 says this, I am He, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Do you see that word, deliver? Question number two for Mary. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. I wonder if we are aware this morning that not all like the Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know? Holly Shear, a Roman Catholic woman, says, and I quote, "It is the most biblically illiterate Christmas song ever written." She went on to say, and here's what she then said, "Of course Mary knew." Why would she say, "Of course Mary knew"? I mean, does anyone dispute now that Mary didn't know as much as you think Mary knew? Mary was troubled. Mary was perplexed. Mary was confused. At his birth, 12 years later, she was still confused about a statement. 30 years later, she was still confused. Why would Holly Shear say, "Of course Mary knew"? Pope Leo VIII said, and I quote, "Listen, nothing according to the will of God comes to us except through Mary. Nothing according to the will of God comes to us except through Mary." You know what that means, right? That means Mary knows before you know. See, that's the channel of knowing. It begins with God. It filters its way to Mary. And then it filters its way to you. Listen to a couple of these thoughts from the Catholic Catechism, and I think you'll understand why they believe, of course, Mary knew. The Catholic Catechism states, "Alongside her son, Mary has become part of this plan of salvation by contributing her share to the justification of the human race, beginning with herself and extending to everyone ever justified." Let me read that again. "Alongside her son, Mary has become part of this plan of salvation by contributing her share to the justification of the human race, beginning with herself and extending to everyone ever justified." The Catechism adds, "It was fitting that the mother of him in whom the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily should herself be full of grace. She was, by sheer grace, conceived without sin." I think you can understand why they think, of course, Mary knew. They look at Mary differently, don't they? I place those two statements side by side because I want you to know Mary did not share in our justification. And I want to add something to that. Because there is one thing that Mary knows. Here's what Mary knows. She was conceived with sin. One of the questions centered around this answer, Luke 1:46 and 47, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts in the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" Mary needed a Savior. Why? Well, turn ahead to Luke 2 and pay careful attention to these two verses. Luke 2:23 and 24, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And what we have in these verses is the purification for Mary, for Mary's sins. Listen carefully to what it says in the Old Testament. Doesn't it say at the beginning there, "As it is written in the law of the Lord"? Pay careful attention to what is written in the law of the Lord. Leviticus 12:2, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of her menstruation she shall be unclean." Leviticus 12:8, "But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, The one for a burnt offering and the other for a what? A sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. And notice the atonement is for mom, not her child. In verse 8 are the words, a sin offering. How many know virgins who obey the law of Moses like Mary are sinners in need of sacrifice for salvation? Do you know what Mary knows about herself? Luke 2 and 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do you see that word you in verse 11? It's a personal pronoun. That's because salvation this morning is personal. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. Salvation is between you and God. Salvation was personal for Mary. Do you remember what she said? My soul, my spirit, my Savior. I don't know about you, but that sounds like it's personal to Mary. It's my soul that needs to be saved. My spirit, I need a Savior. That one verse, Luke 2 and 11, that one verse sums up the entire Christian message. Notice I did not say Christmas message. See, this is the Christian message that has been preached for the last 2,000 years. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. See, this ain't old news. This is good news that never, ever ceases to be preached. Isn't that good? But in the end, what does it matter if you don't take the words for you personally? Now, the question no longer is, Mary, did you know? The question is, do we know? And here's what we need to know as a starting point. This little baby, he is great. He is the great I am. Notice I did not say he was great. Notice I said he is great. I love what this unknown author wrote about his greatness. Listen carefully. Did you know he never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world cannot hold all the books about him? Did you know that he never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters together? Did you know that he never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has? Did you know that he has never practiced medicine, and yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors have healed broken bodies? Did you know that he healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services? Did you know that Herod could not kill him? Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. He is great. He still is. He is still the great I am. Now listen, that came to deliver you. Last week we learned there are three gifts that God gave us. Repentance, belief, and faith. Do you remember that from last week? And we looked at every one of those and we noticed that they were gifts from God. And all three of them are inextricably linked to this baby we've been talking about all morning. The word repent means to change your mind about what you believe and how you behave. Every one of those questions asked of Mary in the song, you know what they all point to in one way or another? He is God. He is God. The only explanation that could be given for the answers that he is the creator of the world, that he can heal a blind man, that he can walk on water, that he can save our sons and daughters, that he can deliver you. This is no ordinary child, is it? This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. This is the Lord with us. And so we change our mind about who Jesus is. Jesus would frequently ask that question, who do you say that I am? There's only one answer. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God, Peter said. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Jehovah. He's not the Son of Joseph. He's the Son of God, and therefore he is God. Like Father, like Son. He is both God and man. We need to change our mind about believing who he is. He's not just God. He's the God-man. He came to die a real death. You know why? Because you and I really die. Then what? We need someone who has control over death, who can raise the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. I need that child. I need the great I am. He lived a sinless life. The just for the unjust. You see, he's the only sacrifice that the Father would accept. Because he's the only sacrifice that was pure and perfect, without blemish, without defect. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He rose on the third day after being buried, and he ascended to the Father's right hand, where he took his seat in heaven. Which leads us to something else we need to change our mind on. He took his seat in heaven. From the cross, he said, it is finished. See, the work of redemption, the work of saving us from our sins was finished in what he did at the cross. And when he went to heaven, he took his seat. You know why? There's no more work to be done. I'm known in my home for taking my seat even when work needs to be done. And when Jesus took his seat, the work was finished. Many, many years ago, as a young Catholic boy, I had to come to grips with this truth. Because as a young Catholic boy, I was taught that good works save you. There's always the doubt factor. And I had to learn that we're saved by grace through faith. That it's not of ourselves, that it is the gift of God, that it's not by good works, that no one can boast. I had to learn that. That it was a gift of God. I've said this before, no one in heaven is going to put their arm around Jesus and say, we did it. No one is going to put their arm around Jesus and say, you died on the cross and I baked the cookies. Or any other good deed we might think gets us to heaven. I was asked at Nedra's gathering last Sunday, and it was brought out that, what do you think Nedra's doing? She's got a lot of rewards, the woman told me. What do you think she's doing? I said, I think I know what she's doing. She's kissing the feet of Jesus. She sees the wounds of her Savior. She knows why she's here. That's what she's doing. It is his work on the cross that saves, not any of our good works. We need to believe this stuff. And here's why. I've shared this irrefutable statistic. If you refute it, let me know why you do. 10 out of every 10 people what? Then what? Then what? Where are you going? How are you getting there? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He doesn't say we, I, because he's the great I am. Which brings us to faith. There are things to believe, but then there's faith. And faith is all about transferring trust. Anybody here come in a car? Yeah. Did you have your brakes inspected before you put it in reverse or drive? No, you just started up the car and took off because you had faith the brakes would work when you needed them to brake. That's what faith is. It's simple. It's a transferring of trust away from self to your Savior, Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. Mary knew. Mary knew this. Mary didn't know a whole lot. But the one thing Mary did know is my soul, my spirit, my Savior. She knew she needed a Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for extraordinarily excellent written Christmas music like Mary, Did You Know? These are questions that have answers. And these answers are reasons that are not seasonal, that take Christmas beyond December. Father, may we take the answers to these questions with us for the rest of this year and into the next. And may we understand just why He is the great I Am. He in His hand controls life. He is sovereign over life, and He came to die that we might live. So I pray this morning, Father, that if there is anyone in our midst uncertain about which way they're going and why they're going and how they're going, that perhaps you might take this morning's word and plant it into their minds and in their hearts, that they would understand that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, plus and minus nothing. Amen. Amen. Well, Mary.